Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Wilmore's finest, Bronte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Oh, baby, oh, baby, oh, baby, a non-payday Friday slash Frisco Friday slash Bay Area Friday slash Let's Screw Through Work Friday. We got Division Around Playoffs coming up, folks. Division Around Playoffs. What's that? We got paid today? Is that? I don't know. Maybe it is a payday Friday. Wow. Did we get paid?
Money time.
Oh, wow. Money time. Money time. Money time. Yeah. Money time. With Mr. Poole back in the building this weekend. Jordan Poole back with the Wizards, of course, tomorrow night for the Golden State Warriors. We'll get to the Warriors. We got division around playoffs. What happened?
Well, new elected mayor Daniel Lurie was going to put together a full panel, a welcoming party, if you will. And you know who's going to help welcome back Jordan Poole?
You are?
No, Mark Willard, his biggest fan.
Oh, wow.
Boy, they were arguing about Jordan Poole yesterday on the show.
Who was arguing about
just
Jordan
the crew.
Poole? What
Grandy,
crew?
The Grandy Man, and Willard, and Dibs.
I'm scared of Willard.
Wait, well, so what was going on?
No, it was just the differing of opinions on Jordan Poole. And okay. I feel like he's a lightning rod for a variety of opinions.
Well, you took a shot at Willard right off the rip. So, what Mark Willard, that was Joe Shasky, the Butcher, not Bonte Hill, taking a shot at you.
He clearly doesn't, you know. He and I have never really.
So expound on this. Expound on this.
No, I just think that it's very interesting. Like, I think Jordan Poole is a fascinating case study in psyche of the Warriors. Mm-hmm. I think there are a lot of people that on the day he was traded, we're like, get this guy off my team for X, Y, and Z reasons.
Okay.
I think that he represents, as an avatar, things that are unfair for him to represent.
Okay.
The youth, the young guard, this weird, like, he's too arrogant. You know what I mean?
So
like,
I'm trying to figure out. So Jordan Poole comes up because Warriors obviously are playing the Wizards tomorrow. And the Warriors are 20-20 and everybody wants to make a trade, and they see young Jordan Poole ascending and averaging career highs in a plethora of categories. However, the Wizards have won, what, six games? So I'm trying to figure out how they got on that conversation with Willard.
Well, it's just about the Jordan Dibs Poole and return. And I feel like Jordan Poole's name has probably come up more in the last month than the last 2 years. And I think it's more like as we do this big study on the Golden State Warriors and we think about where they're at and where it went wrong and woulda, coulda, shoulda. And this is what happens when a dynasty starts to, like, the embers are burning out
right.
of the fire. We go back in time and we're like, where could it have kept going? And I think that the Jordan Poole thing is an interesting point in time. And I've thought about it long and hard. And I'm thinking to myself, there will always be a segment of fans that liked Jordan Poole. There was a segment of fans that I think turned on Jordan Poole because of the play. There's a segment of fans that sided with Draymond Green for X, Y, and Z reasons, thinking that the team was divided. And then I think there's a lot of people that have had a change of heart, not because they're watching Jordan Poole with a fine-tooth comb in Washington. I bet a lot of people haven't even watched a game of Jordan Poole's since he's been a Washington Wizard. But it's more like the woulda, coulda, shoulda of, man, that trade now a couple years removed, like, it wasn't a good trade. And I think a lot of people are like taking things back. Like, you know what?
Yeah, that's what we do in sports.
Exactly.
We could say, in hindsight, we could say we're flipping and flopping. Because I remember in real time what was going on with Jordan Poole, and nobody was missing Jordan Poole last year. But as we look to this matchup coming up with the Wizards and the Warriors, are the Warriors in a better spot without Jordan Poole, or are they in a better spot with Jordan Poole? What does your finances look like? I think in another year, we could really decide whether or not this deal worked out for the Golden State Warriors because of the financial flexibility by letting Chris Paul walk, saying, you know what, we're going to let him walk. We're not going to try to make a trade at the deadline or whatnot. You get your finances in order at least to where you're not paying a boatload of money, a luxury tax, and CB, all that stuff. So I'm not going to play the revisionist history game yet because I know what it was like in real time, just like with Klay Thompson. I understand what it was like in real time. Sure, you could say, I'd rather have Jordan Poole on his team than Draymond Green. But I'll throw the same question you've thrown at me all week about Klay Thompson. Is this team that much better with Klay Thompson? Is this team right now that much better with Jordan Poole on it than not having Jordan Poole
on it? It's funny that you asked that question directly because I was thinking about that walking in. I'm walking past Union Square, and I'm like, all right, let's be real here. How much better? Everything's right. The same, but Jordan Poole's on the team. How much better are they? I actually think they're a little better. Now, by a little, a couple of games. I think that they're a couple of games better at minimum. I don't think it's changing the overall trajectory and frustration of where everyone's at. They probably don't make the Dennis Schroeder trade.
Right.
You know, maybe Pajemski is not on this team for X, Y, and Z reasons. Maybe. Right. I don't know. I do think he takes a little bit of the load off of Steph Curry. I do believe that he provides more of the scoring punch that they clearly have needed at times. Was he the smartest half-court player to end games? No. So I don't want to sit here and say, they're 10 games better with Jordan Poole. I think that's reckless. I think some of their bigger issues are still their bigger issues.
Right. I don't think they're much better with Jordan Poole than without him. Honestly, it just looks different. It looks different.
But what about the symbolism? Forget the record. Symbolism. What about the symbolism of the young guys not being good enough to keep up with the old guys, in getting rid of them?
Look, let's not be silly here. Because I miss Jordan Poole too, but let's not be silly. Jordan Poole's on this roster right now. The Warriors are 20-20. The tenor of the conversation is, you've invested in Jordan Poole, got rid of a trusted veteran in Draymond Green.
or Klay.
You gave Jordan Poole $30-plus million. He's not helping you win. Get this guy off my team, blah, blah. You know the tenor of the conversation.
Well, the day he was traded, the overall sentiment that this is just my feeling, was get this guy off my team.
Exactly.
That's what I felt. But I would be very interested to hear from Warrior fans today, like, how do you feel today? Do you miss him? Do you still root for him? Is he the one that got away? Because I think for some people he is.
Is he the guy who got away for you?
I just think what he represents is the lost hope of a young player who was ascending as we were chasing excellence. And I felt like he was an easy scapegoat. And in retrospect, I feel really, really bad for the guy. And I felt bad for him in real time, but I feel worse now. And your overall point about, like, is the team that much better than where they are? Probably not. But that to me is more of an indication on where the high-priced best players on this team were in their career versus where he's at in his career. But I do believe he'd be a helpful player and a good player and a useful player.
888-957-9570. How do you feel about those sentiments about Jordan Poole as the Warriors will hit the court tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. tip at Chase Center tomorrow when the Warriors host the Wizards. They play 8 of their next 9 at home at Chase Center. A great opportunity to stack some wins. And shout out to those watching on YouTube. Brought to you by Go to State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Festus Azili will join us at 8:30 on the River Islands guest line. Darren Ruzanowski to talk some Sharks at 9:20. And, of course, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Jordan Poole is definitely a polarizing player. I'm not sure how much he resonated considering how long he was here. He was here for 4 years, right? 4 years we got Jordan Poole. Drafted him when he was a baby. He left. Obviously, there were some ill feelings towards him. There's some ill feelings towards Draymond when he left. And they made the move because it was obvious that locker room was not going to be able to coexist with both of them in the same locker room.
I agree.
Walking around in the same space. Now, here we are a year and a half later. Jordan Poole's Wizards are, they're not 6-31, folks. They're 6-33.
They're not good.
They're 6-33. And they're getting blown out in every single game. They're not even competitive. And so when you have a player like Jordan Poole, you say, well, what is he doing to impact winning? Well, it's not all him, right? It kind of shows that you need a lot of talent on the basketball team, and they have a lot of young players in Bilal Coulibaly. They got some veterans in Valachunas and Kyle Kuzma, but they got a lot of youngsters on this team. A lot of youngsters. So I don't know if Jordan Poole's the one that got away, but boy, without that incident, I'm very curious to know where that team lands that second season or that next season after the championship when they lost to the L.A. Lakers in the second round of the playoffs. Jordan Poole is just a shell of himself. Just a shell of himself. So I don't know how much the Warriors are winning with and without Jordan Poole, the same thing with Klay Thompson or whatnot. But it's obvious right now that the roster, as currently constructed, is not good enough to compete for a championship. And they may not be good enough to finish top six in the Western Conference. So that is an issue here. You just wonder, with a quicker athletic guard like Jordan Poole, would it translate to more wins? Would it translate to more losses? How does it look? It's hard to say, really. It's hard.
Like, in our life, for the Warriors, you think Chris Webber is the biggest, like, one that got away?
No doubt. In my lifetime, yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, no doubt.
It's funny, like, because he was awesome year one, right? Everyone knows, awesome year one. Goes to the Washington, at the time they were called the Bullets. They weren't very good. They were, like, a complete teardown rebuild. I think they won like 25 games or something like that his first year. And then they slowly got better, but they never really reached the zenith of what you thought they might become, right? Mm-hmm. And he ends up getting traded. And really his best years are with the Sacramento Kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember exactly how he was viewed league-wide at that time. He was such a like high-profile player coming out playing for the Fab Five. It felt like he was a sexier, definitely a viewed league-wide as a more winning player than what Jordan Poole is viewed currently.
I don't even think it's close.
You know, yeah, right?
I don't even think it's close.
Even though the team didn't necessarily have success. You get where I'm going?
Webber, as a rookie, was all of a sudden thrust into this category with the top power forwards in the game. Karl Malone, Charles Barkley. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he was starting to get the dunk on Barkley, the commercial, Nike. I mean, it's not even close. Like, Chris Webber was in a completely different stratosphere than Jordan Poole.
I would agree. But when you look at it, how many years do you think it took Warrior fans to get over the Webber thing?
Well, it took a long time because they didn't make the playoffs for a long time. So each year they didn't make the playoffs, every Warrior fan walking around these streets in the Bay Area would say, it's the Webber curse. Ever since they got rid of Webber, we haven't done anything.
Go back in that time. We were younger. I think it was about 12 years old when he got traded. Were you bitter toward him, Nelly, mad at the organization?
Organization.
Okay.
Organization.
Did you root for him in Washington?
I rooted for his success.
Yeah.
I rooted for Webber.
I used to collect this card.
But I was also a Webber fan, though.
Yes, me too.
So it's a little different for me coming out of Michigan. Yeah. I was a Webber fan. Yeah. So it's a little different.
What about with the Kings?
Yeah, I rooted for Webber.
See, I rooted for Webber. I didn't really root for him with the Kings. I just didn't like the Kings.
I rooted for Webber. And another player they had was Mike Bibby. I loved Mike Bibby coming out of Arizona. Loved Mike Bibby on those 97 Wildcats.
Do you think the majority of Warrior fans rooted for him when he was with the Kings?
I'm not sure. It's possible, but I'm not sure.
Do you think Warrior fans root for Jordan Poole's success now, just in general?
I would think so. Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I do.
But it's obvious that...
But I don't have ill will, and I probably was a bigger Poole homer at the beginning because I found the guy intoxicating. Yes, he didn't. He wasn't a complete player. No one thinks that he's on the Steph Curry level. I just thought he was a lot of fun, and I thought he was the perfect, what I would call, that sip of water that this dehydrated team needed. Yeah. To get themselves up again. He was a useful player.
Right.
Whether he was a starter, a sixth man, whatever, I thought he was a fun, ascending young player that could help be that youthful invigoration that the old guys desperately needed.
5-1-0 with an interesting one. Webber left. Warriors drafted Vince Carter, traded for Jameson. That was another gut punch. That was a gut punch.
The Sprewell situation and then him going right to the finals. I mean,
yeah, no
doubt. It was a combination of things.
Let's go to Oreo Cookie in Oakland. Oreo Cookie, what's happening?
Hey, what up, guys? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
You guys, let's remember that Poole was one of ours, man. We drafted him. You guys got to remember that he had a tough up-and-coming from the G League, up and down all the time. And then when he finally stuck, man, we were with him. We were riding for him. So I still do root for him. Going back to the Hawaiian Punch, shout-out Guru, I think we got rid of the wrong guy. And I think if we would have kept Poole and got rid of Draymond, that would have spearheaded Kuminga coming in faster to the lineup. I think we would have been fine. I think we still had Wiseman at that time. I think Wiseman still would have been with us. I think the team would have been cool with him, man. I still root for him, like I said, and he's on my fantasy team, bro. That's how much it is.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it? Gone just like that?
And like that, he's gone.
Just like that.
No, George.
Just ended the call abruptly. Kind of threw me off, right?
And ain't nothing you can do about it.
Ain't nothing I can do about it. Ain't nothing I can do about it.
When they do like a team reunion in 2032, the 10-year reunion of the 2022 championship, I don't know, maybe he's still playing in the league. I would assume that he is, but there's no guarantees. I mean, how's he viewed?
I don't know. I don't know. 888-957-9570 is the number. I don't know if he's the one that got away. I'm interested to hear from Warrior fans because it's been a while on Jordan Poole. That's Warriors at 20-20. Would it translate into winning? He's having a nice season. There's no doubt about that. He's having a very nice season. At the same time, can you have a nice season on a team that's 6-33?
No.
Like that's the issue.
But we've also learned that Steph Curry's probably the greatest player, you know, ever or whatever. And
you need talent around you to win.
And they're struggling to get
you need talent around you to win. There's no doubt. That's an indictment on him. He's got to do his job. You control how you play.
Yeah.
Not the rest of your guys. I'm just interested. I'm just interested to hear the context between Willard, Grandy, and Dibs on Jordan Poole. Like, I didn't hear it, so I don't know what the center of the conversation.
They were just discussing all the stuff that we're discussing right now.
I remember Willard last season said he's not giving Jordan Poole a steady ovation, and I don't know where it came from. I don't know where that vigor came from when it came towards Jordan Poole. Very interesting, though. It is very interesting. I
will say this. For me, and I know you said we got to find out about flexibility, but today, if you look at your bank account or whatever today, they're in the negative on that trade. If that trade was, you're in the negative. Now, maybe down the road, you know, it appreciates and it ends up netting them something because of that flexibility. But as of today, trading a 23-year-old at the time who was making $28 million for 40-year-old Chris Paul, and then that contract expired and you had to staple a first-round pick to it in 2030, it ended up being a horrific trade.
Trades are hard.
No, that was a bad
one. Not a good trade. Not a good trade right now, but we'll see what it looks like. As of now, it's not the best trade in the world, but how much better are they with JP? How much better would that locker room have been? Did they get rid of the wrong guy? I don't know, but the Warriors right now, they're 20-20. They got to get rolling here over the next 42 games, something we'll discuss today, plus division around playoffs. We got shameless shout-outs, all that good stuff coming up, brought to you by the San Francisco International Airport.
I love Jordan. He's such a good young guy, and he looks really good. You know, I watched a couple of their games leading up to our game, and I was just struck by how confident and strong he looks. He just looks more comfortable, and I'm so happy for him because, he did so much for us. He's such a good young guy, and the last couple of years haven't been easy for Jordan.
It's JP with the Golden State Warriors. Now back to the morning roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky.
JP, that was Steve Kerr back in November with Willard and Dibs. Jordan Poole, just 25 years old, averaging over 21 a game, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, shooting 43% from the floor and 40% from the three-point line, which would be a career high. He's having a hell of a season, but his team has only won 6 games. They're 6-33. Hell, they went through a month in November where they didn't win a single game. Not one single win in the month of November. And then when you look at the Wizards right now and the losing streak they're on, I mean, Shasky, this team, I know it's about JP, but I'm looking at this team here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They've lost 8 games in a row. They've lost 10 of their last 11. So if there's ever such a thing as a get-right game or a game you got to have, This is the one you got to have if you're going to go to St. Louis and move a game over 500. But I am interested to know if Warrior
to
fans.
Raptors, I mean, who had lost 60-17.
I know.
I thought you were going to go the other way. Like, if there's ever a get right game for the Washington Wizards, it's this Golden State Warrior team.
They're on the road. They haven't had much success on the road, the Washington Wizards. What have you seen on the road?
Who's their coach?
They're 1-15 on the road. 1-15 on the road. They're 5-18 at home. So this game is at Chase Center. So it'll be a road game for the Wiz. Who is their coach? Let me pull up their coach.
I thought you would know this on the top of your head.
No, they hired I want to say his last name is Keith. O'Keefe? Maybe.
If I was running the Wizards, I would a complete rebrand. Get rid of the name Wizards. I don't know. Something else. They got to completely change it up. I love the red, white, and blue combo for the Washington, D.C. area. That's fine, but they need a complete rebrand.
They've been dormant Wizards?
For so many years.
You don't like Wizards, huh?
No, it's awful.
What would you change it to?
I don't know. I've thought about this, like the Caps. You know, and just or the Nats or the Senators or something like that.
Taken.
To me, it has to be something. The Feds would be a good one. Like
the Feds,
yeah, see, like the Federals.
Do they really need to be like something like government? Like, there's too many government or political.
It's Washington D.C.
Capitals,
and they have
Nationals.
Red, white,
like,
and blue combos.
In that theme?
What?
Like, if you rebrand the Wizards, do you need to stay in the same theme as like?
I like it.
You know, Nationals and
yes.
Capitals and like that.
That's what I would do. That's what I would do. The Wizards never hit ever.
Yeah, Commanders, like Capitals, Nationals. I guess, yeah, Federalists.
I like the Wiz when they went to the light blue. That was a nice little rebrand they had. And then they went back to the red, white, and blue, obviously. I don't know. They play in the middle of Chinatown in Washington, D.C. The arena is like in the middle of the block. It's very strange. Capital One Arena.
I don't know Washington, D.C. that way.
Yeah, you've never been to D.C.?
No.
So it's in the middle of the street in Chinatown. And I know they're working on trying to get a new arena. And just move from that location. Their game seems to be a bit sleepy at Capital One Arena. That's where Georgetown also plays.
When you have six wins or whatever.
I mean, it's been like that for years. So it's just nobody goes to those games, man. They got, you know, thankfully the Commanders for them are playing well. And Ovechkin is going for Gretzky's record. So you got something there with the Caps. But the Wizards do feel like an afterthought in that market. There's no doubt. Especially with the Nationals winning a World Series.
Do Baltimore people root for the Washington Wizards?
I don't know. That's a great question because they used to play in Baltimore back in the day. I'm not sure if it translated.
I don't know if it translated.
Maybe that is their basketball team out there. Baltimore's so in on the Ravens and the Orioles that's a great question. I wonder. I can hit up my Baltimore folks. You guys root for the Capitals? Or excuse me, you guys root for the Wizards? The Wizards?
It's an odd name. If I root
for the Caps too.
Probably do root for the Caps.
Yeah, I bet they do.
Baltimore doesn't have a hockey team.
They don't have a hockey team. Out there in Beemore. And it's like, and Baltimore is what, about 45 minutes away from D.C.?
Driving distance, close enough.
Yes.
Yeah. You've been out there 11?
I've been to Washington, D.C. as part of our eighth grade, like, end of the year trip, but I didn't, well, obviously we didn't go to Baltimore or anything like that, so.
Since the Washington Nationals came into Major League Baseball, the Baltimore Orioles and the Nationals have been arguing over television money on this regional sports network that actually went under, and they both were pointing the finger at why the other couldn't spend more money and whatnot. It was a huge, huge deal. And so a lot of would-be O's fans became Nats fans when the Nats were good. And now a lot of would-be Nats fans, because they've torn it down so many times, have jumped ship and gone back to the Orioles.
Brian Keefe. Told you it was Keefe. Brian Keefe, not O'Keefe. Brian Keefe is your head coach of the Washington Wizards, 48 years old. Has a task with trying to bring that organization back.
Brian Keefe could walk into this room, shake my hand.
You would not know who he is.
Tell me he's Brian Keefe, and I'd go, oh, okay.
Yeah, I figured. Former Laker assistant, former Knick assistant, former Sonic assistant, former Thunder assistant, former Nets assistant. He's been with the organization since 2003. Former UNLV guard, played guard at UNLV and UC Irvine. So came to the West Coast of college, played on the West Coast of college, and he's been coaching all over the board, so he's got the task of trying to bring the Wizards back to relevancy. But yeah, Mass in the whole deal. I remember driving from Baltimore to D.C. I went to a Giants game in D.C. They were playing the Nats. They got smoked. It was that early July 4th game. And then went to an Orioles game that same week. It's like about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, give or take, driving from Baltimore to D.C. It's pretty cool to have a major city right there and your neighbors. So
earlier this season. I know the Commanders played the Ravens down in Baltimore. You saw Philadelphia play the Ravens earlier this season, and he took the train down to Baltimore. That's the cool thing about the East Coast. You get on a train where there's Amtrak. Mm-hmm. You can take it from Penn Station. You'd be in Baltimore 2 hours. Yeah. 2 hours just straight through the train. You go through Philadelphia, or you go through Jersey, Philly, Delaware, and then Baltimore.
Our good East Coast friends. Did you see, speaking of Philadelphia, I don't know if you guys have been paying attention, but the Rams' Jared Verse had some things to say about Philadelphia. The young player out of Florida State, Bonte.
Don't like that.
He came out and he told the Los Angeles Times, they're so annoying. I hate Eagle fans. I hate Eagle fans. They're so annoying. I hate Eagle fans.
Not smart.
Why?
Not smart. Now you give that lunatic fringe of a fan base ammunition, lighting gas on a fire, and you just don't want to say anything to entice that team, that fan base. You know, they're going to be riding with the Eagle fans out there, Saquon Barkley and company. You gave up over 250 yards rushing to Saquon the first time around. You should probably just pay attention to the assignment, learn or watch enough film to learn how to get by Lane Johnson and Mayada and all those great offensive linemen they have. I don't like it. I don't like hearing this from Jared Verse. And I like Jared Verse a lot for Florida State. He's a hell of a player. And the Rams got them one, but I don't like it this week.
Well, Debo talked a lot of smack. Now, granted, it was after losing in the NFC Championship game. And he wrote a check and then cashed it on the face of everyone in Philly. And then said goodbye. Leave the stadium. Now, Jared Verse, obviously, is a defensive player, and so it's different. You don't have the ball in your hand. You can't score touchdowns. But you could definitely wreck a game, but you better show up. And when you're a rook, you know, it's a lot.
You better show up against that offensive line, the best offensive line possibly in football outside of Detroit Lions. You can make the argument that they're both really, really good. I don't like the fact that he said something. I kind of had a feeling that the Philadelphia Eagles would win this one comfortably. Now I feel like this could get out of hand. I feel like
really just because
one
of the young guys.
I'm there.
I love
I'm
the
there.
Rams in this game.
I'm there.
He added on, when I see that green and white, I hate it. I actually get upset. Like I actually get genuinely hot.
I hope he
plays well. I hope for his sake. I hope he plays well and has a big game, because if he doesn't, he will never hear the end of it from Philadelphia, from me, from anybody. We may disown him at Florida State. No, I'm kidding. He's a symbol. He's a null. But no, I don't like it, Lubman. Do you? I don't like this. I don't like it at all.
I mean, he's playing with fire, and like I don't have an emotional connection to it. So like I kind of like that I could be a neutral observer and just watch whatever happens here plays out. Like, you know what? If he goes in and he clowns on the Eagles, that'll be really great. If he goes in and has a bad day and the Eagle fans pile on him, I'm going to sit back and sip my tea and be like, oh, that really sucks for you.
You really believe the Rams have a shot in this one?
I do. They have Matt Stafford. He's the better quarterback. I absolutely do. And I think, you know, Sean McVay having the game plan. Like, obviously, it's again Vic Fangio, and Vic Fangio is very, very, very good. I think this is an interesting matchup. Yeah, I do. I do think they have a chance.
The Eagles did not wow me against the Packers.
I'm kind of with you.
Like, coming into the playoffs, I thought the Eagles could be the team. Like, you know what? I could kind of see them going all the way and getting past the lines, making it to the Super Bowl. Then against the Packers, Packers left a lot of points out on the field there with how they played and some of the turnovers they had.
Well, the Packers, they were soft. They didn't deserve to be in that game. They fumbled on the first opening kickoff. Jordan Love almost threw a pick on his first pass.
They got the ball back on that one, and it was like a wrongly adjudicated.
Yeah, I don't know. He got smacked. He fumbled. And, you know, yeah, the Eagles didn't play their A game, and it still felt like they were up 30-0 in that game.
I think that's just more just like the Packers played that poorly versus the Eagles.
Well, the Eagles made them play that poorly. Look at all the guys that the Eagles hurt in that football game. Like, they were inflicting punishment on the Green Bay Packers. Inflicting punishment. So, I you like the Rams too, huh, Lovin?
I think I would still lean Eagles here, but Rams will probably keep it close, though.
So, from that game, a Philadelphia sports fan went on a tirade against this Green Bay Packer woman fan, and the guy now lost his job and won't ever be allowed to attend another Eagles home game.
Good.
Did you guys see that?
Good, I did.
Did you see the video?
Good.
But it was as ugly as it can get.
Justice is served for that clown-ass fan base. And that's just one of many who act like that. No, seriously. Like, who? This guy is like just berating this young lady because she's wearing another jersey, also, colored all kind
of
names.
We didn't see what happened prior to the beginning of the video.
Well, now there's a rumor going around that the Packer fan showed up looking for a beef or something.
I'm not making excuses because trust me, you and I know we've been there and whatever. And there's always something that leads up to these things. It's never all on one side. But I will say that, like, at some point, people have to understand that, like, your behavior is unacceptable. Yeah. Like, come on. I was listening to Spike Eskin and our good friend, come on, he does the Substack, Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Oh. They had, like, a podcast.
Yeah, Short Parks?
Yes. No, it was Ethan Sherwood Strauss. Okay. And he was asking him about the fan behavior and everything. And Ethan Sherwood Strauss said he's never been to a football game, which I found to be shocking. But they were talking about, like, fan behavior and how, you know, when people video things, you know, we've gotten to this society of cancel culture and everything. And I was listening to the whole thing. I'm like, guys, we're doing gymnastics to basically try to defend ridiculous behavior. Mm-hmm. Ridiculous behavior. What are we doing? How about you just go to the game. You want to throw a couple of barbs and some funny lines. Does everything have to be like
personal?
Like we're just like the white knuckling it at all times. How miserable is your life if you're treating people like that after you paid a couple hundred bucks to go to a game, a couple hundred bucks to park, and to walk and you're spending money? Like, take a deep breath, everybody. And look, I want my team to win too, but that doesn't mean I'm going to inflict rage upon someone sitting two seats in front of me wearing the opposing team's jersey. Like, sometimes your actions, you need to be accountable for.
Well, he's getting fired. You know the guys, too, from Yankee Stadium who tried to snatch some baseball out of Mookie Betts' glove? They've been banned from baseball stadiums all across Major League Baseball.
Good.
They can never attend a baseball game ever again, and it should be the case.
Yes.
It should be the case.
Consequences for your poor actions.
Speaking of which, poor actions. Who's got a poor jump shot? I hope you don't have a poor jump shot because it will get exposed in the 95-70 game knockout tournament because it is back. The second annual 95-70 game knockout tournament is all the way back, folks. The throne reigning champion, Mark Grandy, will start to qualify people January 27th and do it for 3 weeks. So 3 weeks of qualifying will do it January 27th. Again, we'll give you an opportunity to qualify three times a day for 3 weeks. And that'll start on January 27th, and you have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. All right, more coming up. Do you miss pool or not, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. We're getting more playoffs, shameless shout-outs as well. A lot going on here on a Friday, a payday Friday on the Morning Rose, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
Hey, Dub Nation, it's Trace Jackson Davis, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Chesky on 95.7 The Game.
I like where TJD's at right now. 14 straight starts, averaging nearly a double-double. You want to finish a little better, but Aaron Diet is doing his thing, man. He's doing his thing. We'll talk to Festus about that at 8:30. Shameless shout-outs, 7:45. Shameless shout-outs, 7:45 today on The Roast as this segment is brought to you by Golden State. Serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoToStateLumber.com. Look at the VJ in North Carolina. The second year, he wants to talk about Jonathan Kuminga and the Go To State Warriors. Kuminga had his walking boot removed, but he could be a week or two away. They need JK. I miss JK on the floor. He was ascending, of course, averaging 21-6 a game since the 1st of December. So they definitely miss his athleticism and his defense at point of attack. So JK, hopefully, will be back in a couple weeks.
Sam, we're going to tease this because I have a story I want to play in between as we kind of set this up. Sam, I would like you on the front end, before I tell my little story about yesterday that involves someone here at the station. Yeah, it is.
It's a King's Tale.
It's a Squire story.
Oh, it's a King's Tale.
It's a Squire story.
A butcher's bit?
A butcher's bit. I like that. A butcher's bit. Like, so what's the butcher's bit?
I was making mafia moves. Sam, can you ask the question that you asked me right before I walked into the station, into the studio?
I mean, I asked you a lot of questions. It was, have you ever felt as good about Jonathan Kuminga as we did about Jordan Poole once upon a time?
No, I'm serious.
That's a good question. I think we felt a lot better about Jordan Poole.
Don't answer it. Oh, why? Because I have long thoughts.
Just let that percolate for a second.
Say it eloquently one more time, Sam.
Have you ever felt as good about Jonathan Kuminga as we as Warrior fans once did about Jordan Poole during his heyday with the Warriors?
That's a great question. That's an absolutely Great question. 888-957-9570 is the number. 888-957-9570 is the number. I got thoughts, too, but I'll just give you a short answer. You guys don't want me to give an answer right now, right? You want me to let
we
that
We want
marinate?
You to percolate it for a little let bit it, while Shasky does his bit.
Yeah. Okay, let's get his
a
bit.
A percolation
let
sensation.
Let it simmer? Okay, all right.
Let it simmer.
Percolation sensation. Let it simmer. Simmer like some good old tea.
What is going on here?
I got a squire's tale. All right. So yesterday, the big boss man said, hey, it'd be really important if you could show up to this holiday party. We had a holiday party here at Odyssey.
Did you go, Spadoni?
Well, Spadoni, look.
I'm out.
I now understand it's really difficult to pack up the kids and go anywhere. Just anywhere. It's difficult. Just going grocery shopping with a kid is a nightmare. I don't know how people do it. I really don't.
It's actually fun. I like what Chaz is rolling with me. She's a helper.
Yeah, but do you need to like have the full backpack with diapers?
Sometimes.
And...
Yeah, well that stage, yeah, you had the stroller or whatnot, but I've kind of mastered it a bit.
It's all about the mindset when you go into there. If you're gonna have a bad mindset about it, it's gonna be a bad
experience.
It's
gonna be a bad
experience. If you're gonna have positive have fun with your kids.
Yeah,
it'll
you
be
have
fine.
Some fun. You go down the aisles like, oh, look, you could make everything fun. And yeah, I actually like when I could get Chestnut out the house, it's a success. So yesterday we did our rounds. She's four, right? Yeah, she's four. But even when she was one, I would take the stroller, have everything. And it was, you know, you make it work.
But it's hard to push the stroller while pushing the shopping cart.
You just put them in that
No, I do. Yeah,
and then we had the case of the shopping cart.
You gotta
sit down there.
Buckle the belts and all that. But anyway, so yesterday I had the little guy. The babysitter's out of town. Michelle's working late. I'm by myself. We're going to Hotel Villa. It's right there across the street from the ballpark.
Michelle came too?
No, Michelle's working late. Okay. I have the little guy. All right? And so I packed him up. I got him dressed. You know, I leave. And I'm thinking, oh, there's going to be traffic. We're going to show up. I'm going to give 30 to 45 minutes or however long he can stay. And then I'm going to bounce.
Can I step in for a second? I told this guy Hotel Villa is like 10 minutes away from his house. I drive down there every single day or for Warriors games. He's from the city. Should know that it takes about 15, 20 minutes to get to Hotel Villa from your house. You left 45 minutes early?
No, I left around 3:15 because I went and got gas, and I didn't know how long it was going to take, and I wanted to take my time, and you don't know where parking is, and I got the little guy. I'm doing a hit and run, as I call it. I'm going to show up, I'm going to hit, I'm going to run. Well, I got there early, obviously, and to Bonte, Mr. You know, Waze, he knew the traffic. So I hit up Guru. I go, yo, where are you at? I know you're somewhere around here. And Guru and Steiny were in a hole in the wall around the corner. So I go pulling up, and I swear to God, Steiny, one adult beverage in, it's a completely different human being. Most calm, happy. I mean, he's got game. Spitting game, whether it's to older people, younger people, men, women, doesn't matter. He has the glasses now, and I'm telling you, it's a sophisticated look for Steiny. It is a sophisticated. He looks like De Niro in Casino. I want to call him Sam Rothstein. And that's really it. Steiny, I believe.
That's the story.
One
so
drink
that's
in.
That's your story.
Here's the story.
Suck it up, Matt Steinmetz, and tell him how good he looks with glasses.
I think Matt Steinmetz, one drink in, is equivalent to Beast Mode, one Hennessy shot in before he gets into an NFL game. It's a completely different guy.
This guy is such a D.
I mean this. I'm elevated.
You're saying you want Steiny to take a shot before he goes on air?
Is that a story?
He does.
Was that a story, or was that just you waxing poetic about Matt Steinmetz? And
just adding some dynamicism to his character.
It's a little shtick on your big shtick.
Oh my God. Well, whereas on the show, Guru's kind of carrying things and Steiny's nitpicking, when they go out in public, it's the other way around. Steiny is the show. And Guru and me were just nitpicking stuff. It was unbelievable. The guy
our relationship is on the brink.
Putting on a performance. I was impressed. Then he shows up, walks right into Hotel Villa late, because me and Guru walked over earlier with our guy, what's the New York Jets fan?
Justin,
thank you, who's having another baby. Steiny shows up 20 minutes late and goes, hey, am I getting an appearance fee for this? Where's Kieran? I want to talk to her. I mean, think of the confidence you have to have to pull up from half court like that.
Oh, you missed
I was drunk!
You're talking about appearance fees. We Guru tried to talk Warriors with Steiny, and Steiny's like, if I'm going to talk Warriors, that's where the appearance fee comes in.
Oh, my God.
Steiny's a real character.
VJ, North Carolina. VJ, what's up?
Oh, nothing, bro. How you doing this morning?
I'm good,
what's
VJ.
What's up, bro?
Good, man. I listen to y'all show usually every morning. Y'all have a good show, man, and you bring up a lot of good points.
Thank you.
One thing, I was listening to a guy a minute ago saying, who would he rather have, I believe, Jordan Poole, which I like him, or Kuminga. I'd rather have Kuminga any day. Jordan Poole is a good player, but he will throw the ball away quick. And Golden State, one of their bigger problems is those threes. Every team that is have gotten used to those three-point shooters, even to seven-footers. But they let Kuminga and Steve Kerr gave him some minutes. I promise you, no one in the league can stop Kuminga, whether people accept it or not. And why he's getting so much hatred from people about his free throws, I admit he needs to work on them. But Andrew Wiggins has been helping him. He's getting better on that. And a lot of people still want to down him about that. But then you have guys like, I can't think his name, the guy that's out that play guard.
Podziemski.
Yeah, right. You take him, Gary Payton. I'm not looking at that, even Draymond Green. Some of the other guys, they never have anything to say. Even Trey Jackson, he can't even shoot free throws. But when it comes to these things about Jonathan Kuminga, which is the best athletic player on their team. And I promise you, I would rather him, not being rude, I would rather him get traded to another team, because it is going to be a lot of teams going to want him. And I hope we'll be in the same conference, because General Kuminga will show him, and he's going to come back and destroy Golden State Warriors. I promise you that.
All right, VJ. Here's the one thing with Poole and Kuminga that we know about Jordan Poole, is that he can impact winning at a high level. We've seen that already. We've seen that in the postseason, his first ever postseason with the Golden State Warriors on the way to a championship. Jordan Poole averaged over 17. I vividly remember the first three games of the Denver series. That's where money time in the Mile High City in a late regular season game. Then he goes back there in Denver the first three games of the first round. Remember Memphis game one, Steph and Jordan Poole, 30 burgers each. He was up and down in that series as he was trying to learn his way in the playoffs. Kind of disappeared during the Dallas series. But then he showed up in the NBA Finals in game five and six. So in his first postseason go-round, we've seen Jordan Poole impact winning basketball. We've yet to see that yet from Jonathan Kuminga because he simply hasn't had the chance yet. So I may reserve judgment to say who's better on this team, who's a better fit. Have you felt better about Kuminga's game than you ever did about Jordan Poole? Jordan Poole, I think we forget, was an absolute rock star. And I've been mentioning this all week. When Jordan Poole would do something crazy at Chase Center, outside of Stephen Curry, he was getting the biggest pop from the crowd. Signs, Poole jerseys. Girls love Jordan Poole. They loved him. So, Jordan Poole, man, he did a lot more for the Warriors in his short time than Kuminga had, simply because he had more opportunity to do so. Now, he was a good player, and at his peak of his powers with the Warriors, he was electric. He did a lot of things that helped winning, but we just haven't seen that yet from Kuminga. So, I think the answer is Jordan Poole. We've seen Jordan Poole do a lot in his short time with the Warriors, where he actually got an opportunity to showcase his skill set.
However you want to describe it, like
Mike.
However you want to describe it, intoxicating moments, you know, where he would just kind of take over, and then all of a sudden, two, three, four buckets in a row, whether it's be at the rim or from three-point land, and then the other team calls a timeout because he's on so much fire, they feel like they need to douse it with water, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's mm-hmm. that's what I think of with when Jordan Poole's at a high of his heights.
Yep.
And I think of how much fun he was. Not that Kuminga's not fun. He is fun. But I don't think he had the takeover moments offensively the way Jordan Poole had.
Haven't seen him yet. I mean, we've seen him a couple times this year. We had a couple times this year where we saw it against the Houston Rockets, where he scored a career-high 34. We saw it a couple times against Memphis, because JP would have the ball in his hands as a point guard / off-ball guard. He had the ball in his hands a lot more than JK. And boy, when he had that baby on a string that year, the Warriors won a championship, it was pretty. I mean, he was hooping. He had a month of March where he was averaging nearly 25 a game and keeping the Warriors in games without Stephen Curry and later on Draymond Green as he was out with the back injury. So we just haven't seen JK get that opportunity yet. And they're just two completely different players.
Totally. And I think it was easier for JP to facilitate his own offense and for others because he was a point guard and the ball is in his hands. And I think it was a little more difficult for Kuminga as a guy who doesn't play with the ball starting off in his hands to affect the game. I will say this, JK had affected the game in a positive way on the defensive end
right.
significantly more. But defense isn't, You're not getting the crowd riled up 3-4 possessions in a row playing defense. Dre does at times when he'll block somebody or whatever and then scream into the crowd. But like, there's something about offensively when the game is flowing back and forth and you have this frenetic pace and JP would like, bang, hit one from the outside and then start, you know, chanting to the crowd. I mean, the place would go crazy.
It would. You know, thinking about everything that's happened as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and out